thought for today. A pet makes a fine MD. How many of us have ever thought about a pet being an MD, a medical doctor? Well, in many places, in many hospitals, the MD, that is, the pets are allowed into the hospital to do their wonders with the patients. Because so many patients are not having a good experience there with the medicine and the other things, because there's a very special ingredient that no one has been able to handle, and that's called the will to live. The will to live is something that is within each person or not. And if there is no will to live, if the desire is to expire, if the desire is to quit this mortal coil, then there's not much the doctors can do about it, or the family, or anybody else, and the person just cuts out. Many people, the Jewish people, love to die after the Jewish New Year's, because they want to see that New Year in, and then they die. The Chinese New Year has been very special to many of them, and they die after the Chinese New Year. And how many grandmothers and grandfathers do you know of who continued living until after they saw their firstborn grandchild, or after they saw some special wedding or some special event? And they had the strength and vitality, and you think that they're ready to go another 100 years, but they give up because they've decided that they're going to cut out. Now, in deciding that they're going to cut out, what does that mean? Well, it just means that they have no motivation, no will to live. Now, we all know that a successful person is a person who is successful because he has the will to be successful, the motivation to be successful. We know a girl who wants to have a certain boy as her husband, and she knows how to go about it very carefully to orchestrate the relationship so that it looks like she's not doing anything. And he just happens to be at the same place she is always. And he doesn't have any idea what's going on. He's just being himself and having fun and letting life take its program for him. And many men marry women because the women wanted them to get married to them. And many men have done the same thing. That's called courting or wooing. The only thing is, after most marriages get started, the wooing stops. And when the wooing stops, then the motivation for the marriage stops. Because sex is not a motivation for marriage. What's the motivation for marriage is the caring about oneself and the caring about the people you're being with, your wife or your husband. So, back to the hospital. I've been in many, many hospitals in El Centro, in Los Angeles, in San Diego, and Newport Beach, and many places where there are hospitals, and in Atwater. And whenever the day was there for the pets to be allowed in the hospital, it was the happiest day in the hospital. For the nurses, for the patients, for everybody had a smile on their face. Let me pet the puppy, let me pet the puppy. And the little old ladies would be sitting there, having been in a virtual coma for weeks. And when the pet comes, and then their hand is laid on the pet's back, and pretty soon they're stroking the pet. They don't know what they're doing, but they're stroking the pet because there's a certain acceptance there. There's a certain love there. And pretty soon they lean forward and say, "Can I keep him?" You know. And the doctors say, "No, you're paying $2,000 a day to stay in this hospital, and if we give you this puppy, you'll be out in 2 days, and we can't handle that." I'm being kind of facetious, but essentially that's true. Essentially that's true. If you could be allowed in the hospital at all, then why couldn't they be allowed in the hospital on a regular basis? I mean, have your daughter or your nurse or somebody take care of the pet and have the pet come in, if not for a full time, at least for a couple hours, you know, or maybe 3 or 4 hours, or maybe to sleep overnight with you on your bed, because they have a very healing power. They have a very sensitive power. The tongue of a dog is the healing saliva they have in their tongue. That's why they lick their wounds, and their wounds are almost instantly healed. And whenever I have a wound, and Button or Love want to come and lick it, I don't stop them. Their dirty tongues, you know, licking up dirty water in the ditch and eating dog dew that they find here and there and smelling coyote dung and whatever. I'm like, yuck, you know. And then they come and lick me, you know, and they lick my sensitive wound where I scratch myself or something. But there is no infection. There is no infection wherever they have ministered their love. And this is what pets do. Pets have a very special quality about them. Wherever I had patients, friends who were just about ready to sign out, and the parents and the family wanted them to stay in, and I said, well, let's get a pet up there. Let's get a dog. And we got a dog up there, and all of a sudden, or a cat even. Cats are a little more difficult to handle because they have a mind of their own. And if they think that they're not being appreciated, they take off. But dogs are built for this. This is part of their nature. Dogs are domesticated, caring beings. People are domesticated cat beings. We're here for the cats. The cats aren't here for us. But the dogs, they're here for us. And that's a wonderful thing. So if we could really do more with this, what happened to our friend Georgiana Free West, was it, and her husband Peter? Peter was here and he didn't want to come up here to the ranch house to eat with us. He didn't want to come up here. What was he doing? He was playing with the cat on the bed. He had the cats on the bed, remember? And he did not want to come up and eat because he had the cats on the bed and he was having a good time. And he did not want to come up. Now, perhaps he was the wisest for not doing it. But we were foolish not to get the dogs in on the act. Now, maybe he isn't the dog person, but I kind of think he is. If we had gotten Prince in there, if we had gotten the two Dobies in there, you know, the minis, they would have done a wonderful job with him. You see, he had no desire to live. He knew that he had a lot of money. He knew that when he passed on, his wife was going to be taken care of. He knew that he had had some pretty tough experiences in life and that this had made him disrespected by many people. And he knew there was nothing he could do to change it. And so he just thought, well, I'll get out of the way and let my wife take the money and perhaps find a new husband or something. You know, he was just very, very easygoing about that. Because it was tough for him to do that. But if we had brought a dog in, it might very well have made the difference in his leaving and his staying, primarily because the dog doesn't care. The dog just loves. This is what Gus did. Gus would jump up in church on different people's lap, and he knew where to go. And he would sit there, and by the time the service was over, that person felt 100% better, if not completely released of their problem. This happened every single Sunday at Mill Meditation, every single Sunday up at Andromeda. Oh, Andromeda, said, they didn't want the dog in the church. I told him, I'm the minister here, that I come, the dog comes. You know, if the dog comes here, I come here. The dog doesn't come here, I don't come here. And of course, then they let me, you know. But nobody really cared except for the choir director. And she didn't want the dog in there because her dog howls whenever she played the piano. And whenever her husband would sing, he'd howl. And they were afraid that Gus would do that. But Gus was, he would sit in the front seat of the church with his paws crossed, just like he was in meditation. And everybody felt good about him. I told you the story about Dr. Seke and he. Dr. Seke owned Mill Meditations, and we rented it from him. And we went down to some of his seminars in San Diego. And Gus had a tangle with a rattlesnake, and he got bit. And we took him every place, and by the time we found any place, they said, well, if he is still alive, you got no problem, you know. Give him a shot for any whatever tetanus shot or something like that. So we did. But his nose was a little bit swollen where he was bit by the rattlesnake. And so we went to Dr. Seke's meeting, and we took Gus along, of course. And Dr. Seke, what happened? And we told him, he gets the front seat in the middle here. He gets front seat center, and there's a pedal that's supposed to be put in that seat for him. You know, he recognized the value of dogs and their healing powers, because he is an MD, he was an MD, and that was his field. And so Gus sat there throughout the entire week-long seminar. Front row center was for him, and I was on one side, and Mark was on the other side. We had the best seats in the house. And I can't remember the thing that Dr. Seke said, but I do remember we had a good time with Gus, and he was just terrific. So you see, these are the things that go on. These are the things that dogs do. We don't realize what they're doing, but everyone in Dr. Seke's seminar knew Gus and came up and spoke to him and petted him, wished him well. And they thought they were giving their healing blessing to him, but he was giving his healing blessing to them. Mm-hmm. We would have our laying out of hands healing service up at Andromeda. It had been there before I got there, and took me a while to get it straightened out. And Gus and I would go to it. And Gus, the little children would hold Gus's paw because he had to be part of the circle. And every one of them was turning to Gus. They were all looking at Gus while we were doing the healing circle stuff that they were doing. And Gus was just like orchestrating the thing, and he knew what he was doing. He knew what he was doing. You see, these dogs, these animals, they're more intuitive. They're more in tune with the divine pattern than we ever give them credit for. The dog should have an MD, should have a medical doctor's certificate, because it does a greater job than many of the medical doctors. Now, this is not a complaint about the medical doctors. Thank God for them. Many people get benefit out of it. But the medical doctors are getting so specialized that they're forgetting about the patient. They're forgetting all about the very thing that is the most healing quality within a patient, within the friend, as we call them. And that quality is the touching, the personal awareness, the personal beingness. How many doctors touch you? Now, I went to my annual physical examination, and I said to the doctor, you recommended this ointment for me, and I went to a dermatologist, and he recommended a salve, and the salve worked like a charm. It's the same stuff, but the salve just bumped the stuff right off there. The ointment didn't even touch him. And so he felt kind of guilty, and so he rushed in the back, and he said, I can take my nitrogen, liquid nitrogen thing, and squirt these things here and get this here and that and do that. I said, go ahead, you know. And so he squirted away. But why hadn't he done it otherwise? Why didn't he, if he felt so necessary to do it then, why didn't he feel it was necessary to do it at other times? Now, I'm saying this to you not in judging him poorly, but in only saying, why did he get so close to me at that time? Every time I went in there, I pronounced him whole and perfect. I said, and he had a cold or something, and then the next time I was there, he said, yeah, I went right away. And so then he had other little things. He had a bad sunburn another time I went in there, and I told him how to handle it. You know, I'm his metaphysical doctor. But, and he has taken quite, you know, a closeness to me on this. He's Dr. Kwok from
Korea? You said Korea?
Korea, yeah. So when he was working with me, and he said, now you're my patient, and you remember that, just always list me as your patient, as your doctor, you know, wherever you have to list it, you know, and I have. But he is a young fellow, maybe in his 30s, late 30s, and he's just getting used to the idea of knowing all medicine. and knowing all the nuances of medicine, because there's a lot to learn, and he's doing well, but he is remaining as a GP there at the Secure Horizons, and does a good job. But if he would have on his staff a beautiful Dalmatian and perhaps a little Maltese, he would create miracles in that place, absolute miracles, because these dogs are so miracle workers that it's just amazing. It's amazing what they do. I don't want to tell you of a lot of experiences that I've had with dogs who have done miracle work, because that is coming a little later in our program. Right now, I just want to mention that it does happen, and you know that it happens. We can read it in the Discovery magazine, every issue virtually, where they speak about these things. You can read it in the Scientific American. You can read it in Popular Mechanics and Popular Science. Believe it or not, they tell about it there too. And you can certainly read it in the dog magazines, because these dog magazines tell about this very much. And my sister Marie in Delaware, she tells about some of the situations where the dogs have been very healing, wonderful healing agents with the people. Now, how does this affect you, and how does it affect me? What can we do about this? How can we benefit from the healing activities of a dog? If you have a headache, just take your dog and put him up on your forehead. No. If you ever feel uptight and you are unable to put yourself in balance by good positive affirmations, take a dog and hold him in your arms and love him. Love him, love him, love him. And by the time you're done loving him, whatever was bothering you will be gone. Try it. Try it. If you have a headache, if you have a toe ache, if you have a heartache, if you have anything at all, it doesn't matter, cold, just take one of the pets and snuggle them for a good, you know, half hour or so, and just make love to them. Just tell them how wonderful they are, and what grand, woo them, you know, woo them, and let them just ooze out there, oh yeah, you're good too, you know, and you know, you give and you get. So share with whoever you're going to, Button or Love or who else we got around here, the cats. The cats are not quite known for their healing. Cats are known for many other things, which we'll discuss at another time too, but cats are very special. But the dogs are the healers. The dogs have been known to do this. They have been known to work on people who were injured, and they would lick their wounds until the wound healed. And then when the medics or whoever, somebody came along, they didn't need them anymore. The person was secure. And even a wound that bled a great deal, the dog would lick it until it stayed the blood, you know, and then the healing took place. It's amazing what they do. Now, many of you have known of dogs who do this. Now, why is it that coyotes bay at the moon? Ooh, at the full moon. And why do dogs join in with them? Well, because a dog, a wolf, and a coyote are very close relatives. They're not as distant relatives as science would like to say we are from the monkey, you know. But they're very close relatives. And the coyote is capable of being tamed just as beautifully as a dog, except the coyote has certain aspects of his being which make him always a hunter. He has been, you'd have to trade it out of his being over many generations. And how many of the dogs now are we training into being hunters, into going into the water and bringing back the ducks or geese or things like that, and not damaging the ducks or geese, just bringing them back and not letting that scent of blood cause them to go back to their earlier hunt attitude, you know. These are very wonderful and very important things, but of course these are not necessarily the healing activities of a dog, but they are. Think of it. If a dog can be trained to lick a wound on a human and not become blood crazed, If a wolf were to lick blood on a human, he'd just go crazy, because that's the way he gets his food. And this is why most of the time we don't feed blood type objects to dogs, because we don't want to have them have any type of situation about them that's going to cause them to perhaps turn on their master or turn on their keeper. Dogs who are trained for the army, dogs who are trained for the service, sometimes have this difficulty and become vicious and cruel. But they're trained to be vicious and cruel. It's just like we saw the movie, and the movie was My Other Sister, and the boy was talking about the fellow downstairs in the basement, and the fellow in the basement had been in the war, and Vietnam War, and in the war he was taught to kill people. He was just taught to kill people, he's a killing machine. And then he comes back to society and he's supposed to forget about killing. He's supposed to say, there are people you can kill and people you can't kill. Well, there are never people you can kill. And if we ever teach people that they can go and kill people, then it's going to be a hard lesson to unlearn. And this is what happens to dogs too. Dogs are trained over the years now to be very loving, gentle, caring beings, you know, and because they're so gentle, caring, and loving, they are absolutely magnificent pets and good MDs. Mm-hmm. So we have to be careful what sort of thing. Now, remember in My Other Sister, she came up to this great big German Shepherd and said, hello, you know, with all the love in her heart. And the guy says, be careful, this is a drug sniffer. He's on off duty right now, but he's a drug sniffer. Don't mess him up. Now, what would happen if she started petting the dog and loving the dog? He would melt. And he would not be a vicious drug sniffer, bent on his job. They have to keep them aloof from all other type of attitudes that would make them loving and gentle and kind. And if they don't do that, then the dog is not going to be effective in doing his duty of being a drug snifter. So this is what happens also in many other areas. The dogs who are the best able to go and do the training of being a healing dog are the dogs that are most often trained to be aggressive, like the German Shepherds, the Rottweilers, the Great Danes, and the Doberman Pinschers, and a few others, you know, because they have such ferocious-looking appearances to them, and they have such bulk to them. But the bigger they are, the more pushy they are, like babies, the bigger, the easier they are to push around. They forget. It's just like a great, what do you call these, Bernard,
Saint Bernard.
Saint Bernard, thank you. Just like our Saint Bernard. They are so big and so clumsy that they sometimes forget that they're big and clumsy. But they're like our friend here, our Maltese. He is so gentle, you wouldn't know he was sitting on your lap. Well, the Saint Bernard is the same way. When he's playing with the children or playing with anything else, he's so gentle, you don't even know he's there, even though he's a big, bulky guy. But this takes an art. This takes an art. And would you believe it when I say this to you? Another very gentle animal is the elephant. The elephant is so tender and gentle to its babies, and it nurses them so gently, it never crushes them. And I mean, those are big, big mamas, you know. And when they're nursing their babies, if they roll over the wrong way, squatch, there goes baby, you know. But they're so gentle, it's just like this guy here. If he were to roll over, a flea could be underneath him, or a snake or a beetle, and it wouldn't be disturbed. They'd think maybe a breeze had passed by, because he's just so gentle and so lightweight. But this is part of the game. It's part of the game. A pet makes a fine MD. Now, the sooner we begin to learn how a pet makes a fine MD, the sooner we'll let that be put into practice. I let Gus do much of my work for me, because he would go around the church and he would go around to each person who who needed anything, and they wouldn't even tell me about it. And so then I would speak to them afterwards, and I would say to them, now, you put the cause in motion that you are now totally healed. This doesn't have to be a thing that comes back. You're totally healed. Know it. And Gus is here whenever you need him. Not me, but Gus is here whenever you need him. But this is a wonderful thing. This is a very special thing. It's something that each of us could learn to do. Now, what is it that makes the dog such a healer?
Unconditional love.
I think that probably is the right word for it. Unconditional. Unconditional love. He loves you whether you stink to high heaven, or whether you got perfume on, or whether you are whatever, you know. He doesn't care. I had some a pickle, and then I bent over and I was talking to Button and Love, and I was snuggling them on their nose with my nose, and they could smell the pickle. They didn't even bat an eyelash. Didn't bother them at all. They're untouched by this. But again, like they say about the Maltese and other dogs, their sense of taste is not too great, so he might not have tasted the pickle. But a pet makes a fine MD. We'll talk more about this, and we'll talk more in depth about how this works. But right now, I just want to share the thought that a pet makes a fine MD, and I want you to realize this, so that whenever you have a need, just pick up one of our pets and snuggle him to pieces. And Mr. Snuggle will be up with May, snuggling her to pieces. And you watch for the reports. They'll be there, reluctantly given, because it's going to happen so subtly that they won't realize it's happening. It's just that all of a sudden she's doing things that she didn't do before, and doing more and more. On the phone, May says, "Oh, what am I supposed to make for lunch for you all tomorrow? You're all coming and I've got to make lunch for you." And I said, "Well, we'll take care of them." Uh-huh. "That's a darn good thing. T is out getting our lunch today." You know, he went to the speakeasy to get some lunch. And so he's bringing some back for them, but we'll pick some up when we go. This is such a wonderful thing of how dogs are a healing agent, that we should really turn ourselves aware of how it works and how it's done. It's exciting. Okay. So it is. For a dog, a pet makes a fine MD. In mental health.